They say carnival is bacchanal, costumes, rhythm, excess. But if you stood in Port of Spain on that electric Tuesday in February 2025, you'd know it was something deeper. I've spent a lifetime documenting Trinidad's carnival as a cultural historian. Yet this year was different. Soccer legend Machel Montano and Nigerian superstar Davido didn't just share a stage, they collapsed continents. The moment their road march anthem, Party, pulsed through the streets, it wasn't just revelry, it was return, ancestral return. West Africa met the West Indies, not in theory, but in sound, sweat, and spirit. But as we celebrate this Africa-Caribbean fusion going viral worldwide, we must also ask, who profits from our performance? What pieces of ourselves are lost when carnival becomes content? This is the story of 2025's carnival, where history, identity, and rhythm collided under the hot Trinidad sun. Chapter 1. Title: When the Road Becomes a Drum. I've walked these streets for decades, Charlotte Street, Ariapita Avenue, down to the Savannah Grandstand, and I've never seen a carnival like 2025. Not just for the spectacle, though it had spectacle in spades. No, what made this year unforgettable wasn't the feathers or the soca bass. It was the way the road itself seemed to become a drum. And this time, the rhythm didn't just echo from Laventille to San Fernando. It bounced between Port of Spain and Lagos. I was born in Belmont, a stone's throw from the savannah. My earliest memories are of Jouvert mornings, mud-caked men playing devils and panmen hammering rhythm into metal as if they were calling back ancestors. My father was a historian who documented Kanbule rituals and wrote about stick fighters. My mother sewed Morse costumes for all of Belmont's queens. Carnival wasn't just our celebration. It was our syllabus. It taught us where we came from and where we needed to go. But this year, something shifted. The electricity before the storm. By late January, whispers had already started. Machel Montano would be returning with a surprise international guest. There were rumors of Party, a track teased with a thunderous Afrobeats hook, and speculation swirled. Some said Burna Boy, some said Wizkid. When the confirmation finally came, Davido, the air in Port of Spain changed. It wasn't just hype, it was historic. You have to understand, Trinbagonians are proud of our carnival, but also fiercely protective of its roots. For an African superstar to headline a performance with We Own Soca Royalty. That wasn't just a booking. That was a message. Mass Meets Movement. From the moment Party dropped, the city vibrated. It wasn't just a song. It was a war cry and a celebration, laced with Yoruba rhythms, brass section flair, and a beat that made even the Stupsing elders in the East dry goods stalls tap their feet. Everywhere I went, car stereos in Woodbrook, mini-marts in Arima, even schoolyards in Tobago, children were humming the hook. I visited the mass camp of the Legacy Band, where they were building an entire theme section called Across the Waters, dedicated to the transatlantic cultural link between Nigeria and Trinidad. They weren't just using kente cloth as aesthetic. They had collaborated with a Yoruba designer to craft ceremonial patterns based on tribal motifs of resilience and rebirth. That's what carnival is when it's at its best, a communion of history, design, music, and identity. A diaspora reunited in rhythm. On Carnival Tuesday, I stood on a rooftop above Queen's Park, Savannah, with fellow cultural workers and researchers. Below, a sea of movement, feathers, sequins, skin, sweat. Then, just after noon, the bass hit, The crowd parted like waves, revealing a grand performance float decorated in red, black, and green. Davido emerged in regal Ankara robes fused with metallic Mars embellishments. Machel Montano, in a white and gold carnival general suit, stood beside him. They didn't greet each other with handshakes. They clasped wrists, like warriors. When Pardi hit the speakers, it wasn't just a performance. It was an invocation. Thousands moved as if possessed, the crowd pulsing in sync with the beat, flags from Ghana, Nigeria, and Trinidad waving in the breeze. I saw elders crying, young girls dancing like they were home in two places at once. This wasn't Pan-African theory in a textbook. It was happening live, in the flesh. The viral moment, and what it meant. The clip went viral before the second chorus ended. Phones out, TikToks posted, hashtags trending. By nightfall, Yash Soca Meets Afrobeats was top trending globally. CNN called it a cultural convergence. BT labeled it Black Joy Personified. But in the back of my mind, a quiet concern stirred. Not cynicism, just caution. Because while the world marveled at our performance, I wondered, do they understand it? Or are they just consuming it? From resistance to revenue. You see, Carnival wasn't always this shiny. It was born from emancipation, forged in defiance of the French elite's masquerade balls. The Kanbule processions of the 19th century were outlawed, violently suppressed, yet we persisted. Stickfighters and panmen made music out of scraps. Masqueraders turned rebellion into art. Now, our culture is an export. Our stories are streaming. And as proud as I am of our global moment, I ask, who's collecting the cultural capital? Big brands sponsored this year's costumes. A Dubai-based tech firm sponsored the Savannah stage. Afro-Caribbean collaboration is beautiful. But I've seen the danger of what happens when Carnival becomes just content. What we must protect. After the dust of Carnival settled and the beads were swept from the pavement, I walked the empty savannah at dawn. The same place where revelers screamed yesterday was now silent. A bird called in the silk cotton tree. The mist rolled in. I stood still and thought of Davido, of Machel, of the ancestors who never got to dance free in the streets. I thought of every mother stitching feathers and every child learning the drum rhythm in the panyard. And I made myself a promise. Let the world watch. Let the world celebrate. But never let them rewrite what this is. This is not just a show. This is memory in motion. This is Africa, still beating in the Caribbean chest. Chapter 2, title, Behind the Mars. Power, profit, and performance. They say the road is the stage. But what happens when that stage gets global sponsors? When every feather, every waistline, every beat of the drum is filmed, posted, dissected, and monetized? Behind the masquerade, behind the rhythm, behind the joy, there's always a power structure. And as someone who spent their life studying Carnival, not just as festivity, but as expression, resistance, and currency, I can tell you. 2025 was a cultural turning point, but also a commercial pivot. And if we're not careful, it may become a cultural crossroads. The Carnival economy. Let's not get it twisted. Carnival has always been an economic engine. It's the beating heart of Trinidad and Tobago's creative industry. It supports seamstresses in Diego Martin, steel pan tuners in Laventil, caterers in Chaguanas, and truck drivers from Moruga to Mayaro. But this year, things looked different. Corporate banners flew higher than community ones. A UAE tech firm sponsored the biggest stage at the Savannah. A Miami-based luxury brand funded one of the frontline costume bands. One mass leader told me they'd received costume designs via email from an international PR firm, inspired by Caribbean heritage, they claimed. I looked at it. It was beautiful. But it wasn't ours. And that's the line we're constantly navigating. How do we scale Carnival without selling its soul? The Influencer Masquerade. In 2025, there were more influencers than ever before. Not just Trinis, either. Beauty vloggers from LA, Afrobeat TikTokers from Ghana, travel couples from Canada, even reality TV stars from Dubai, all in frontline costumes, sponsored, filmed from drones. Carnival had become the ultimate visual currency. And again, yes, exposure helps. It puts Port of Spain on the global map. Flights increase, local tourism surges, hotel bookings climb. But beneath the glitter lies a creeping question. When people film Carnival, do they know what they're filming? Are they capturing culture, or are they capturing content? At a Monday Night Fete in St. James, I overheard two influencers rehearsing a spontaneous moment for their Instagram reels, complete with stage direction. It wasn't malicious. It was disconnected. Carnival isn't choreography. It's combustion. Heritage versus hashtags. Back in Belmont, I sat with my uncle, a former Calypsonian and one of the last living griots of the 1970s tent scene. He shook his head, watching a YouTube recap titled Carnival 2025. Top 10 must-see outfits. They're showing tale, he said, but not telling tale. That stuck with me. Carnival has never been just aesthetics. Every element has roots. The jab-jab, its pain transformed into play. The blue devils of Paramin, a living embodiment of our ancestral hauntings. The Moko Jumbi, a spiritual guardian from West Africa who watches above. But in this digital era, meaning is easily replaced with marketability. Culture becomes costuming, and the stories that anchor our traditions get cut for time or branded for sponsorship. The cost of going global. After Davido and Michelle's party moment, the tourism board announced a record 18% spike in international carnival visitors. That's good. But what's also true is this. Several local vendors were shut out of high traffic zones due to exclusive contracts with global corporations. Independent musbands lost road access to routes dominated by mega-branded trucks. Local radio stations were overshadowed by overseas media outlets' live streaming events. This isn't fear-mongering. It's pattern recognition. Global attention is a double-edged sword. It can amplify or erase. Cultural appropriation in real time. I witnessed a moment that crystallized this tension. On Tuesday afternoon, just off Ariapeta, I saw a European influencer dressed in a hypersexualized island warrior costume being corrected by a carnival elder from Laventil. The elder explained that her outfit mimicked the traditional La Diablesse character but stripped it of its meaning. Her response? It's just a vibe, nah? That vibe is rooted in a colonial past where African women were demonized and sexualized. The La Diablesse was never just a costume, it was a critique, a resistance wrapped in fabric and folklore. This isn't about gatekeeping, it's about context. Appreciation requires acknowledgement. Carnival didn't appear out of nowhere. It was carved from trauma, rebellion, memory, and joy. Owning our narrative. As the global stage gets bigger, we need to control the script. That means teaching Carnival's origins in schools, not just the tourist-friendly version. archiving the oral histories of Mars legends before they vanish, investing in cultural documentation that goes beyond party promos, empowering our local creatives to tell our stories with our voices. Because the truth is, if we don't define what carnival means, someone else will, and they'll do it with nice camera angles and no understanding. Back to the roots. Late Wednesday evening, I visited a panyard in San Juan. No cameras, no sponsors, just a circle of youths and elders, tuning pans and swapping stories. One boy, maybe 12, looked up at me and asked, "Uncle, you see Davido?" I smiled. "Yes, I saw him." "You think I could perform on that stage one day?" That's what's at stake. Not just culture, but inheritance. Not just spectacle, but legacy. Carnival will always evolve, that's its nature. But evolution without memory is erasure. And if we are to honor this Africa-Caribbean cultural fusion, it must be rooted in reverence, not just revenue. We can go global, but we must remain grounded. Chapter 3. Title: Guardians of the Rhythm. Some mornings, when the city is quiet again and the Mars dust settles, I walk through the empty streets of Port of Spain with a recorder in my hand. I capture sounds: street sweepers dragging metal bins, a far-off pan echoing from a lonely yard, a lone vagrant humming a calypso no radio plays anymore. These are the pieces of carnival no camera captures, the residue, the realness. Because after the feathers fade and the sponsors pack up, what remains is the soul. And that soul is not for sale, not to influencers, not to festival packages, not to the highest bidder. It belongs to the people. It belongs to us. Ancestral frequencies. Carnival is not just an event, it's a frequency, a hum in the bloodline that reaches across oceans and centuries. The African drum never stopped beating. It just changed form into the iron of the tambu bamboo, the oil of the steel pan, the syncopated bounce of soca, the cross rhythms of Afrobeats. When Davido and Michelle shared the savannah stage, the moment wasn't rehearsed. It was channeled. They tapped into something ancient. Not just collaboration, connection, a recognition. That same frequency echoes in the Moko Jumbi's stride, in the Blue Devil's scream, in the call and response of Calypso Tents, and it's our duty as cultural stewards to keep tuning into it. Cultural stewardship is a full-time mass. Being a guardian of this culture isn't glamorous. It means late nights in panyards, long hours in mass camps, stitching bead by bead. It means fighting for funding when carnival is over and no one's watching. It means telling a young boy that steel pan matters just as much as social media followers. It means calling out misrepresentation, even when it's inconvenient. It means preserving folklore, even when it's not profitable. It means writing the stories before they disappear. This year, I interviewed dozens of elders. One, Miss Eudora, 87 years old, told me how she used to smuggle fabric from Granada to make costumes during the ban years. Another, Brother Carl, remembered dancing with painted chains on his feet to mimic the memory of bondage, turning pain into play. They asked me, "Who's telling these stories now?" I told them, "We are, and we must." Diaspora doesn't mean distance. One of the most beautiful revelations of Carnival 2025 was how proximity isn't necessary for connection. When Davido sang in Yoruba and the crowd responded in Trinipatois, that was diaspora communion. When Nigerian flags waved alongside Trinbagonian ones, that wasn't confusion, it was clarity. We are not different peoples. We are the scattered notes of one ancestral melody. The diaspora is not a divide, it's a drumline. But still, diaspora celebration without diaspora education is empty. So yes, let's build bridges. Let's collaborate. Let's dance across oceans. But let us also teach what the beats mean, what the costumes represent, what the resistance requires. Because cultural fusion without cultural foundation becomes performance without power. Preserving the pulse. I've always said that Carnival is a living document, a moving archive, and if we treat it with respect, it becomes a tool for healing, for history, for identity. That's why I started a small community archive this year, backed by a few retired educators and muss-makers. We're collecting oral histories, costume sketches, old recordings of calypso battles, and steel pan innovations. We're not waiting for institutions to preserve us. We're doing it ourselves. Because if we don't write our own story, someone else will remix it. And we'll wake up one day and not recognize the sound. The road ahead. So what comes next? More collaborations, probably. More viral moments, certainly. More commercialization, almost definitely. But also, more resistance, more remembrance, more responsibility. As I watch the youth step up, young panists, teenage designers, barefoot dancers on Carnival Monday, who move like they've been here before, I feel a kind of peace. Because while the platforms change and the faces evolve, the rhythm remains. And as long as we stay tuned in, truly tuned in, Carnival will not be lost. It will expand, deepen, elevate. Final reflection. This is more than mass. Carnival 2025 was not just a party. It was a portal. A loud, sweaty, glittered conversation between continents. A reminder that Africa is not gone. It's braided into the DNA of every Trini wine and every Yoruba chant. We are the children of migration, of music, of movement. We are proof that rhythm survives everything. Slavery, colonization, capitalism, even algorithms. And when we step onto the road each year, we are not just dancing. We are declaring, we remember. Let the world come. Let them watch. Let them celebrate. But let them also listen. Because this is more than mass. This is the heartbeat of home.